And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us, everybody. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. You know, it's really difficult today to have some fun, right? Just like relax. I'm not like a relaxing dude. I'm a pretty tense guy. I pretty much always want to be get going and just curl up into a ball and just like roll down the street. But in fear that some Pokemon jackass is going to pick me up and put me in his fucking pocket like some creepy pedophile fuckface. I feel like I just got to relax a little bit and straighten my back out and just, you know, just be able to get some healthy energy perspective. Is that a little too hip? That might be a little too hippie-ish, but I think you know where I'm going with it. Just subtract the hippie. Just cut the hippie shit out and then you see where I'm going. Things are tense, you know, especially here in New York City. I don't know. I think it's pretty tense everywhere, but things are pretty tense. At the same time, there's like a lot of cool culture being made right now. There's a bunch of cool movies out that are trying to do some interesting things. There's some bad movies out, too, that are not doing very interesting things. And there's some bad movies out that are actually also doing some interesting things. Whatever. There's a lot of cool culture being produced. And at the same time, that's only a small portion of the culture, the overall culture that we are being subjected to, because we're just like plugged into this media stream. It's like, you know, on one side, just government press releases of things that we're supposed to think. And on the other side, talking head, fuck faces, idiots telling us what to think, you know, with their half-baked, bourgeois, fucking highfalutin opinions that we are told are non-spin zones, but they're omitting and excluding all this information, and it just fucking makes me so fucking tense, and I can't handle it. But luckily, there was a terrifying, tension-filled television show that was just released on Netflix. And this podcast is not sponsored by Netflix, but it could be at this point because there's so much good shit being produced by them. But there's a new show out, and I took a break from the political blah blah blahs to check out this show, and I loved it. I absolutely adored it. It was brilliant. I think it was doing good things in the world on top of the fact that it was entertaining. So I took a little bit of time. I don't know if I relaxed, but I sat back as much as I could, although I was on the edge of my seat a lot. It was actually a pretty tense show. I couldn't fall asleep watching it. So it was like 3 days in a row staying awake, not because it was scary, but because it was so fucking exciting. I was riveted by this show. We're going to be talking about that on the show today. Today is a show dedicated to and exploring Stranger Things, which is a new show on Netflix. I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't seen the show, you're going to want to see it. We are not going to spoil the show for you. We're going to have no major spoilers. We're not going to give away any factual information about the show. If there are people out there who haven't seen it, definitely you're going to want to see it. But don't stop listening yet. You'll be fine. We're just going to talk. We're going to be reflecting on the show, why it's so amazing, and what we think about it. Lauren and Steve from the Dispatchers from the Underground Collective, we've been knee deep in sort of just combing through Trump's bullshit. And we took a break today just to talk about the show. We took a break, we watched it, and reflected on it. I think we're going to have a good conversation, not only about the show, but that's going to be in the first half of the episode. We're going to be taking a closer look at this show and the role it's playing in this moment and the good things that are happening inside of it. We're not just going to talk about the show. We're going to talk more deeply about the unique perspective that it's coming at things from. And on the other side, we're going to get into a space that I think this show pushes us to get into, which is nostalgia. I'm not the most nostalgic person. You know, I try to just, you know, the past is the past and let's move forward. But you know, it's nice just for a little bit to think about where we came from and the good and the bad. Sometimes we like to think as punks that the place we came from aren't these beautiful places, but there's positive things back there. And today, just want to take a minute, talk about the good and the bad and the ugly of the places we have been and some of the culture that we look back on as in our childhoods and think that it was good. Hopefully we're doing that for other people today. Hopefully we're making that culture that younger people today are looking back on in 20 years. And be like, yeah, I really dug that Dispatch show. I'm not sure we're doing that, but hopefully that's happening a little bit. That's what we're going to do in the second part of the episode. And yeah, the first part we're going to talk about Stranger Things. This is a fun little break from the political blah blah blahs that we've been buried in for so terribly long here at Dispatches and here everywhere. So hopefully y'all appreciate that little break. I want to thank Steve and Lauren from the Dispatchers from Unicorn Collective for taking time watching the show and also talking about it with me today. I want to thank y'all for tuning in every single week. You can go to dispatchestheunderground.com and find out more information about ways of staying down with the show. Subscribe there, donate, etc. Hopefully subscribe in iTunes and make some very kind commentary about us. I really appreciate it. That's the best way for you to support the show very easily if you can't make a donation. I want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for continually airing Dispatches of the Underground. They're doing great programming over there, just like Netflix. And really proud to be a family member over there at Real Punk Radio. So thank you, Tommy Unit, for airing us after your beautiful show on Wednesday at 10 p.m. We'll be seeing you at 11. And yeah, thanks to all of you for getting down with us. So let's listen to some tunes and let's get to fucking Lauren and Steve talking shit about a television show that's not all shitty. Stranger Things. Get down. All right, let's listen to some tunes this week. They're a little bit weirder. I love this band. I love the guys in this band, too. They're in Leftover Crack. They're in Introspect, an incredible band from California. I love everything they do. And, you know, maybe we'll play a couple of songs, actually. We're going to play the first one from their band, The Channeling. And I think this song actually goes along well with our theme today. I think these guys are in line with what's happening in some of the cool music in Stranger Things. So I think this is going to set the tone really well. So here's The Channeling featuring some of the amazing members of Introspect and Leftover Crack and a million other amazing bands. So here's The Channeling. Get down.
On the stars.
I love doing this podcast for so many reasons. One of the reasons I love doing this podcast is I get to talk to the people that I care about the things that I care about, and without any concern about whether you want to talk about them or not. Which is amazing. It's like you get to tell your friends, this is what we're going to talk about, and they're like, I don't really want to talk about that. But you're like, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. Which is exactly what happened with this episode that we're about to air right now. Steve and I had watched this show, Stranger Things, which everyone should actively go out and watch. We are not going to give any spoilers on this episode, so you can
especially
listen.
Especially 80s kids too.
Yeah. Well, you just fuck. You just.
Oh
fuck,
God!
No.
All right,
I'm
start
just
over.
No,
start
no,
over.
I'm just kidding. Kidding. We're not going to give any plot spoilers. We're going to talk a little bit about the show, but everyone should go out and watch this show. It's absolutely amazing. We're going to be talking about how amazing it is for a while. But Lauren had not seen the show, and we browbeat her.
Yeah. I got homework.
It was fucked up.
Joey and Steve gave me homework.
Awesome homework.
But I feel bad for that. You're making me feel bad. But again, it's my podcast, so I'm not going to feel that bad about it. I just think that this to me, and I was talking Matt from Vroom Fugue and the Mugs, and I went to go see Star Trek last night, and we're both huge Star Trek fans. And I was talking to him and Kat, his significant other, about this show. And I said to him, I think that this is the best show to have aired in the last 10 years. Maybe the single best season I've ever seen of any show ever, mm-hmm. on all fronts. So I will, and I think that there are other great shows, but I think this might have been the best show ever made. That's fucked up.
I kind of am on board with that, I think.
And yeah. I think it's like the music was weird and great. I heard Trent Reznor made the music. Is that possibly true? It sounded like it was just ripped off of some like really terrible like Castlevania or some shit like that. But I loved it. And like all of the little nuances that were sprinkled in it, the cinematography, the filming, and it was just so amazing. And you know, while I was at the movie last night, they played some trailers for some other TV shows. You know how they play trailers for like the first look at some other crappy TV show.
I don't go to movie theaters.
Well, they now have commercials for awful television shows that no one's
like
gonna
everything.
Watch.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just like poppy, like weird. Stupid action shows that are going to be airing that everyone's going to want to see in the theater. And I'm watching these trailers, and I'm like, who would watch this show after seeing Stranger Things? Because the whole way it's shot is so realistic and so honest and so real to life. And then you have like these fake scenarios in these action shows that like 24 were like, they look at each other just like with a stark look of like, there's a bomb in the back of the building. We've all got to get out of here immediately. It's just so fucking dumb. What did you think? Let me ask Lauren, because I know Steve and I are on the same page. We're going to come to Steve in a second. You're going to tell me why you loved it, Steve. But Lauren, I just put you guys together into one person. I like that.
And now we're your drummer.
Lauren, what did you think, having just seen a couple episodes of this show?
I did really enjoy it, I will say. I mean, I can't speak for the entire series yet. I just saw the two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely got really into it.
What is it that got you hooked? Because there's so much throughout this whole thing that I dug, other than the us forcing.
Well, I mean that.
Yeah, but what was it that you dug about watching the two episodes you dug? Other than us forcing you to do it, that's what made you get hooked. But you didn't have to like it. We would have been fine with you not liking it. But
I know this would be a better episode if I like hated it and all we did was fight about it.
Yeah, that'd be fine. We can pretend. I'll pretend not to like it. That's fine.
No, it's okay.
What was it that you thought was good about it? Or you just think it was just kind of like another TV show? It was just good.
No, I didn't think it was like another TV show. I guess I'm with you on the same lines that it just seemed like there were actual genuine reactions from the characters. Like the mom in it, she makes me uncomfortable with like how much grief she's going through in the first few episodes. It's not a spoiler either.
Yeah.
But,
no, we're
like,
not giving. I'll cut anything out that's fucked up.
Totally. I mean, I've only seen two episodes. I'm sure, like everybody else that's listening to it's probably seen the whole thing.
Yeah,
you
can't spoil anything two episodes in. It's like you watch two episodes, nothing new is happening. There's a mother.
Yeah, there's a
the
mother.
Episode,
and she's
over,
upset.
Forget
it.
Winona Ryder is the mother in the show, mm-hmm. and it's not like Winona Ryder any other way you've ever seen her. She is. If you didn't know it was Winona Ryder, I bet someone would watch this and not even know that it was Winona Ryder the entire time.
I feel like a lot of the emotions are just very raw and like real, and it's just showing how, like, I might react to that situation. Like, actually, even two episodes in, like, feel for these characters. Like, then there's like this friend of a girl that's like in an awkward situation. There's like two couples around her and she's just highly uncomfortable, and that's been me in so many situations.
Oh, that's so weird.
And I'm like, oh my god.
That's funny.
So it's just, you know, they're very relatable characters, whoever wrote it. I have no idea who it was. Just
it's the situations are fucking insane. The mm-hmm. whole show, the whole plot is just absolutely out of this world insane, but everything else about the show is so realistic. I was walking down an alley with Christine after the movie yesterday, and I looked down the alley and I was just expecting the monster from the show to like just rear its face in the episode. And like, I'm just like, I've never had that happen to me before, where I'm like expecting some beast to be down an alleyway. Yeah. Obviously I'm not, but I'm like looking for
about it.
You know, just because it was shot so realistically. Everything else about the show, the emotions, the character, even though the characters are a little bit outrageous too, they resonate again. With mm-hmm. They feel real. Steve, what did you think about this show?
I thought it was everything that I loved about my childhood, pretty much. You know, like the movies that I watched.
Did you play Dungeons and Dragons? Were you a Dungeons and Dragons kid?
I grew up in a born again Christian household. Let's go back.
Oh,
and that was
no Dungeons and Dragons allowed.
Yeah, there were meetings in the house about how that is not permitted.
Oh, no kidding. There's Dungeons and Dragons meetings, but not the fun kind of Dungeons and Dragons meetings.
The kind that tell me, like, yeah, you know, you're gonna become a fucking dwarf and then you're gonna go to hell. and I'm like, Ma, I can't become anyway. So
I like that it's you explaining to your mom, yeah, and the mom explaining.
There's no
to you.
Way I can become an
God,
actual dwarf.
Mom, you don't know anything about dwarves. You sound so stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, so besides that, but just everything, like all the movies that I watched, yeah. You know, I mean, there's Goonies, E.T., you know, and even later on, even though I was still young, I got a little Twin Peaks vibe out of the
Twin Peaks town
kind of thing going on. Yeah. I really felt that.
Even though I hated Twin Peaks and I've tried to watch that show repeatedly, and I don't understand how any of you people out there, and I said you people.
Me people.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
Christine,
we actually have watched it like 100 times.
I can't. Fuck David Lynch.
Oh, come on.
He's clearly a racist with a name like that. And on top of it, it's like the premise is so great. All the acting is great. So much cool music and everything's happening. And then the show is just like a fucking pile of crap.
I think you missed the point. It might be above you. I don't know.
It might be above. It's a very good possibility. But I feel like David Lynch is the reason why so much television today is bad.
And that's not his fault.
That's
it's other people trying to imitate him, and it's not okay.
And they're imitating the worst parts of him. Because this show does imitate the best parts of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a small town vibe, the creepy music.
And what the hell's going on. Yeah.
The total, like, inability to figure out what's happening. Yeah. You don't know where the plot's going. But so many shows, like, no offense to people who like Peaky Blinders or, like, what was that? Boardwalk Empire. Like, these shows.
Either of those.
Mm-hmm. These shows, well, you might, because they're incredibly boring, and they never go anywhere. And I feel like that's what Twin Peaks was. Like, it's like one joke, and then it just every week after week it's like these ridiculous character developments, and I'm like, but what is your point?
Well, I mean, it's real. Like, think about real life. Like, what is the point? Like, what is my character?
Are you telling me that Twin Peaks is a glimpse at real life? Okay. All right. The show did have all these good, like, the feeling of Twin Peaks was there.
Yes.
The feeling of all these movies, of Goonies, like, I think that's a good reference. I didn't think about that, but you could feel the Goonies in it, mm-hmm. you know? Like, the Goonies is there. All the best parts of Goonies, not the stupid, like, caricature parts, like, you know, the fucking truffle shuffle bullshit. But, like, the kid unity, like, there's a scene where they're on school buses, and they're, like, diving for cover from something that they couldn't possibly be diving for. And it's a terrifying moment, but I can just imagine children, like, in that moment, over-dramatizing the situation and, like, dive for cover. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I feel like that's totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's this nostalgia with the show. There are these super visual, like, vivid depictions of fucked up shit, which is awesome. Obviously, all of us love that. But there's also this real-life thing, this, like, realness to it. And this connection. There's a scene in the show. This isn't a spoiler. It happens, obviously. So I'm spoiling that it happens, but it happens like mid season. And the sheriff involved in the show, he has this emotional moment. He's a complicated character.
Are you
all these
sympathizing with a cop, right?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
My God. Everybody, sit down and listen to this.
And I thought, well, I was sympathizing with the show mostly because I really felt like the way they depicted him and the way they depicted his transformation throughout the show was really incredible because it wasn't unrealistic to cops or people. But none of that is matters. What really matters is there's a moment where he doesn't have anything to do with the plot, has nothing to do even really entirely with his character development. His character would have been the same without the scene. And they take the time to have him go and call his ex-wife at one point in the show. And it's not like a super important moment, but it just adds to like this depth of this character. They never explain it. They never talk about it. If you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't even have known what was really happening because they never get explicit about what was happening. It's just like these little sprinkles of depth that like wrench your heart and like get you to go down these really disturbing internal pathways as you're also like exploring the sci-fi shit. So fucking good.
Yeah.
Who does that? Fringe did that a little bit, but not like in a deep, like real meaningful way, you know. Anyway.
No, I'm not even sure if I'm remembering the scene that you're talking about.
Right, because you don't even notice it.
But there was a lot of that. Yeah. There was just parts that made you like understand or feel that the character was real. And that's what I liked about the kids is that makes you think back to when, like, the kids were so real and makes you think back to when you were that age with your friends and how nothing else was really important around you except like
Steve,
being...
So this whole conversation is sore. Well, now that's fine.
You got us. You want to play D&D? I've never played. I still haven't played.
No, fuck those kids. We're going to start a huge D&D loser. You guys already play Pokemon. That's dorky enough.
The kid didn't even get his teeth. I don't know.
Steve doesn't play Pokemon. I'm the only one here.
Yeah. I'll just put you in that category. I'm sorry. I fucked up, Steve. but let's just talk for a second about, because I do think this show lent itself to reflection and something that doesn't happen in most television shows and in most mainstream media, where it encourages you, even though it's sci-fi and even though it's entertainment, it encourages you to think about your own relationships or, like you said, your past, which we're going to get to in the second half of the episode. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things from our past we thought about. But let's just talk about our own reflections based on things we thought about the show or like some. Is there something that you could think about in the show that made you think about your own relationships, not just nostalgia's sake, but like relationships you have, experiences you had, fears you have? I mean, I think about all the conversation we've been having about Trump lately, and I feel like this alternative reality that they touch upon in the show, which, again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it makes me feel a little bit of that. But also, I'll start off. You guys are reflecting and looking at me with death looks, which is
I've got one, but you can start.
I'll start off and say, when I was watching this show, there's a lot of painful regret that happens in the show, where the characters are mourning things that happened, even though they were out of their control. There's this theme that runs through the show of regret, and they weren't in control. They didn't. There's nothing they could do about it, but there was this regret, and I feel like, you know, we've lost so many people lately in New York City, and so many people passed away in my life, and just like that uncontrollable regret, totally outside of your own experience or your own ability to do anything about it. They aren't dead for something you did, but that regret, it's not even all death that they feel it about. There's other things that happen, like this in the second episode, this boy goes missing, or maybe that's the first episode.
It's the first episode.
The boy goes missing, and that's a lot about what the show's about. And people feel really guilty in the first couple episodes about it. And, you know, I just think that regret really touches a lot of what people's deepest emotions are. And some of their most, like, some of their really deepest feelings. And for me, too. I mean, I felt that a lot, especially given what we've been in New York City lately. But, Lauren, what do you think?
All right. Well, again, I'm only two episodes in. I'm going to talk about, like, the little kids, their friendship group. Just like how innocent it was. Like, I think it's the second episode they're trying to explain what a friend is and like what it means to keep a promise, which I think we all have to remember. They're like, it's something you can never break between friends. And I feel like as you get older, promises mean like less and less. So it's just like a really like beautiful moment.
Yeah. And that's something that it does. This is, again, not a spoiler, but that theme runs all the way through the show. Up until the last episode,
awesome.
Constantly being talked about and constantly being reflected on and challenged and changed and struggled through. It's totally in the show. So that's really astute that you picked up on that and brought that moment up. And I think that I thought a lot about friendship, too, when I was thinking about this. It's something we take for granted so often, our friendships, but they're also like the most definitive points of our lives. You know?
Yeah. And like how your actions, like you, you've got to follow through with what you say too. Like, I mean, you should care about what you tell your friends. Like, what you say you're going to do, you should do. And it, like, actually means something. And to hear these, like, I don't know, what, like, 8-year-olds or something?
I think they're older than that, but yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm bad at judging kids' ages.
Well, maybe.
You're a little racist. You're a little racist. That's fine.
Always with the racism.
You're the one doing it, not me. I didn't do anything. I'm just talking about what you've been.
Well, yeah. Anyways, just hearing it explained in just, like, the simplest form from, like, a child. And it's like, we do need to go back on that every once in a while and be like, this is what a friendship is. This is what a promise is. These are basic human things that we all seem to lose as we get older.
I mean, you keep saying you lose. You're not talking about me.
No, I'm not talking about you. You know that.
Super fucking clear. Yeah. You're talking about everyone listening in.
Yes, all of you listening in.
Bad friends. All you bad friends out there.
Oh, you're making me sound like an asshole.
Oh, no. I didn't put any words in your mouth. Or I did, actually. But
yes, you did.
Whatever. We're going to just skip over. I'll cut it all out. I'll edit to make you sound fine. Don't worry. By the end of this, everyone's going to make sure I'm a jerk, not you.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Steve, what did you think? What did you reflect? Is there anything you reflected on the show? Just nostalgia.
Well, yeah. That's really I'm going to start by saying, yeah, this is some heavy shit that I was not expecting about this. But, okay.
You should listen to Dispatches sometime. Check it out.
shit, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. I kind of felt a lot of, I guess, sympathy, empathy towards the main female main character, mm-hmm. 11. We'll call her L.
Yeah.
Coming into the group, and it was so much like, there was so much resistance from especially the one character, you know, the little kid with no teeth. He loves everybody. He's a little, you know, everybody wants to hug him, right? But, you know, one of the other friends was just not having it, you know, until like she really proved herself to be.
This might be going down spoiler territory.
Yeah.
But anyway,
basically, you know, it's hard being the new person in the group and kind of putting yourself out there, especially like, you know, she really. I can't spoil.
You can talk about the emotion without talking about specifics in the show. Like, you know, being like the new person in the group.
Her inability to communicate made it even that much more difficult. And that kind of brings a lot of, like, you know, when you come into the group and, you know, you don't know how to deal with these people. Like, she has no idea how to handle any of this.
Exactly.
And there was the one kid who was, you know, the main character, I guess. He took care of her from the beginning, and he just showed her nothing but, like, unconditional acceptance, and I think that that was, like, a pretty amazing thing.
And one thing that I think was interesting about their relationship, I think his name was Mike, the really ugly-looking boy, and I don't know if that's unfair for me to say, but I said
kids are ugly, whatever.
Yeah, it's fine.
Now you're the one being racist.
Yeah. Wow! You see how she always goes back to racism all the time? Or always just racist shit out of her mouth?
Especially kids in the 80s. I mean, we were ugly kids.
Oh, no, I was really good-looking. I don't know what you're talking about. I was super cute. But there was something unique about the way kids relate to each other that we lose as adults, not just friendship wise, but in his patience and willingness to work with her, even though they all sort of struggle with the new character, L, the girl lead. They all struggle with her inability to communicate, and they all struggle with her being new in the group and stuff like that. And that's all something that happens, but it's interesting how patient and understanding, and how psychologically, like, all of those kids, even though they still struggle with it, were like, don't push her, don't shove her, don't, like, make her do something, like, in making sure she was comfortable. No one, can you imagine those being adults? It'd be like, yo, just toughen up and get the fuck moving on, you know? But, you know, there was just they were just so compassionate to this new person and thoughtful to this person's feelings. I thought that was, you know, touched on in the show, but it was also just brief little highlights, and it was a contrast to the way the adults related to each other as well.
Any of the resistance that came from the other kids was in, you know, it was in reference to, you know, the good of the group.
Yeah.
They, you know, he was afraid of this girl coming in and ruining what they had. I feel like it was more important that he preserves what they have going, and that balance doesn't get fucked up, you know. I don't think it was I don't like you, it was I don't want you coming in here and fucking messing up our shit.
I mean we could talk too about the political allegory that might be in terms of immigration and other things too, which I think might be in there too. But here's the thing about the show is great on so many levels. It is so spectacular on every one of them, up down to, I even saw an article someone had written about the font that's used in the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. which when I first started watching the show, I was like, wow, this font is really cool.
I noticed that too.
It's the Stephen King font.
It's a little bit of the Stephen King font, but there's also some other highlights in it too that are, you're like, it's a Stephen King font, but there's also a little bit more. And you're like, man, you feel the Stephen King, like Needful Things, mm-hmm. but it's also more. I mean, it's just so good. But deeper than all that, the reason this show is good is the reflection and the connection that you have with everything that's happening. Like this show, that could have been about baking, and it really, I think it would have still been good. It wouldn't have been as good as it was, but it's the connection that you have with these characters and the true reality that they reflect and how much you see that yourself in them and you want to see yourself in them and you don't want to see yourself in them. Mm-hmm. And that connection feels so real, and they do so much to make that happen. And I think that's what makes this show unique. And I wish other things on television struggled to have that and play down the fucking fantasy bullshit, because it's a fantasy show, mm-hmm. but it feels real.
It focused so much more on the characters, and that's what, I don't know, a lot of people like about The Walking Dead, and I hate The Walking Dead. I think it's the most boring
pile of shit. Couldn't make it through one whole season.
Yeah. That's where I want to see people getting killed and eaten. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't care. You know, just get eaten already.
I think Walking Dead's a good comparison. Lauren, do you want to say something?
I've never seen it.
But I think Walking Dead's a good comparison, because here you have another fantasy show. But honestly, those characters, and people talked about how it was just drama, but it's not dramatic to me because it's so fake. Mm-hmm. And it, just because it's zombies doesn't have to be make it fake. It's the characters' lack of real genuine depth. And like, they don't, I'm not interested in these people. These people in Stranger Things, I think, had much more to it. And hopefully there's a model. And I think this is the kind of media that should be made. Something that's spurring this kind of reflection.
But, you know, it takes the person watching it to feel that way. You know, some people are just watching it like, oh, that was cool. Yeah.
I'm sure that's happening too. But at the same time, everyone I've talked to about this show mentioned nostalgia. Mm-hmm. So there is something inherent in the fact that the show was set in the past. And again, like, it rang true for other people. That helps lend it to another level of reflection. So I think everyone caught that. Even though it wasn't like bashing people over the head, it wasn't just like playing 80s tunes the entire time. Mm-hmm. It does that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it lends itself to you thinking about your own past and your own experiences because of the way it was set like that. So I don't think it was just us being crazy reflective. I think it is also the way the show is. Anyway, let's cut to it. Let's get back. Let's cut here and let's do a little bit of talking about some of the things from our own childhood that we saw in the show and we love, and that weren't in the show, whatever, fuck them. It's our childhood. Fuck you, fuck it. Get down. So earlier we played The Channeling, which featured members of Introspect, and now we're actually going to play an Introspect song. So here's Introspect, California. Get down. Let's talk about nostalgia. Let's talk about. Although you know, I'm not a nostalgic person. I don't look back fondly on my youth and think, oh, those great days. But this show did, like we talked about, did make me think reflectively about my past and all the great culture that we experienced in the 80s that at the time did not seem as great as it now seems. And even now, looking back at some of them, like watching some of these VHS, these beautiful VHS tapes behind me, some of it didn't hold up so well. But like, you know, at the it was as good as it could have been for the moment it was in. You know, even if we didn't appreciate it. So let's talk about some of those things that we saw in the show, or some of the things. I'll start with the fact that I think the movie The Thing is probably the best movie ever made. I love it so much. There's multiple references. In the show, literal, actual, explicit, direct references in the show to it. It's not like some thematic reference to it. It's actually like they show a clip from The Thing, or like it's a poster in the background. I love that show, that movie so much. I just see that movie, and the posters of that movie, I'm just like, yes.
I've never seen it.
The Thing?
Yeah. Get out.
Get the fuck out of the house, Steve. This fucking interview is done.
I've tried to watch it. I've tried.
You didn't like it?
No. I have tried to start it, and it's like, oh, we'll watch it another time.
My God. It is so enjoyable.
We have to vote in my house. There's the two of us.
Wow.
And it's not that she doesn't want to watch it.
Wow, Krista is against
totally
John Carpenter.
Not at all. No. It's not. It's not like that. Stop looking at her that way.
Let's just. I don't know who I'm judging harsher on this. I have to vote internally about who I'm judging harsher. Let me just get this straight. You choose.
We're a fair and equal household.
I'm judging you equally then. You choose not to watch The Thing and instead to watch David Lynch's dog shit mold on television.
No, not just on television, but I watch all his movies and own all of his movies too.
Come on.
All of them. Every last one.
Even the
Blue Velvet.
Even the good ones. I was about to say, even Blue Velvet is
Wild
still
at Heart.
Fucking boring.
No.
I mean, maybe you wouldn't like The Thing because it might be too exciting for you. It might be too much happening.
No, I don't.
Blue Velvet is still like, it's like, it's just mold. It's like mold creeping on screen. It's just slow. Lost Highway?
Lost Highway was awesome.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Mulholland Drive is fantastic.
They're impossible. Have you seen these movies?
No.
Thank God you haven't seen these movies. We might actually have to talk about them. But luckily, since I don't want to exclude Lauren from this conversation. So we're going to put Dave Lynch aside.
We're going to watch The Thing tonight, okay? How's that sound?
Oh, my God. It is so good. It is so good. It is absolutely one of the most entertaining films ever made. No question about it in my mind.
Chances are I'll put it on and be like, oh, this fucking movie? I watched this when I was 10.
It's possibly.
Like Silver Bullet. I mean, who remembers anything about that? Werewolves, wheelchairs.
Exactly.
What the fuck is going on here?
But just even seeing the posters of The Thing in the background, I'm just like, The Thing, awesome. This fucking show's great. It didn't even matter if it was on. It was like, hell yeah, this show's great. What was there stuff in the show that you, other than the emotions and the experiences or whatever, were there little things in there? I mean, they played Dungeons and Dragons in the show. I never had an experience of that. Just mostly wanted to beat up kids who played Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
yeah. Jock.
Yeah, I wasn't. I didn't do it.
Just wanted to.
But how could you not want to? They were fucking annoying. Troll this. Fuck you.
I envy them. All I wanted
12 sided die.
I just wanted to worship
the devil.
I hope
you 12-sided die.
I mean, yeah. I like that we've got both sides of it. Steve's envious of the D&D kids. Joey wants to beat them up.
I wasn't a jock when I was a kid. I was a fucking obese, like, music-loving dork. But I played hockey, so I guess I was, like, in the jock, like, world because I was a fucking hockey dork. But still, I didn't play D&D. Like, that was just... yeah, those kids like Dick Tracy, and I'm like, that was a... If you like Dick Tracy and you wanted to play D&D, I'm just like, you're a dork, dude. I don't have any relationship to you. You probably like Joy Division, too. I'm out of here.
Nope, that's right, you're on the line.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? That. This is what I'm saying. Joy Division, Dick Tracy, and D&D. To me, these are all the same fucking people.
No.
But nostalgia. Like, what was there? Is there stuff that you look back fondly on and you're like, this is my 80s childhood, or like, Lauren, you're younger than us, so like,
I know,
this
I was
is
just
my,
gonna say I was born in 87.
This is
so
my
90s
really childhood.
Okay, I can talk about
neon
90s.
Painters, caps.
Let's talk about Saved by the Bell, Lauren.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't even think it's always healthy. But is there stuff that you look back fondly on and you're like, this is so definitive, like a movie that defined things for you, or like, you see these kids hanging out? No, not really.
I don't look back fondly on my childhood. I mean, there I do until. There's this weird phenomena in my family where nobody knows where any of our pictures are from back when. So recently, somebody that I know from my childhood posted a picture on Facebook, and I think back on my childhood on all these things like, oh man, everything was so awesome. Everything was so free and fun. And I looked at this picture of myself and I was like, God, I hated I just remembered. I was like, wow, I never slept. I was always tired. I always felt like crap.
Why?
Like,
maybe there was an adult.
Yeah, maybe it was a medical condition. Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe it was depression. I don't know.
Too
we
much
didn't
church,
go to the
not
doc.
Enough science.
Way too much church. You know, I knew that early on. But, you know, it was just, you know what?
Is there culture that you look back on fondly and you're like, man, I love just thinking about this culture, like a television show or a game that you guys played? Like, I remember as a kid, we played Manhunt, which in hindsight, seems racist, but you know, at the time it was like, it wasn't Manhunt. It was like middle of the night, pitch black, no flashlights, and you were basically just trying to find and hurt people that you care about. Mm-hmm. That's all Manhunt really was.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I ever played that, but I do remember like playing different
it's
night
like Pokemon,
games,
but
sure.
No lights and no Pokemon, and you just hurt each other. It's like a lot like Pokemon. It's a lot like Pokemon. But there's no technology involved and you get to hurt each other.
That was one thing that like I wanted to touch on too. Like, I think I'm one of the last generations that didn't really have cell phones when they were younger. And like, you know, you left the house on your bike. You got home when you got home. Your parents literally didn't know where you were. And like, like they could not.
Where the fuck have you been?
Yeah. They just did not know where you were, which, you know. Goes back to talking about Stranger Things. So they're like, I don't know, the kid probably just like ran away. There's no cell phone to trace. There's no this. You know, you get home
when
late.
You get there,
when you get there, I mean, you might have to deal with like getting yelled at if you come home after a certain time, or, you know, whatever kind of punishment you get. But just like the freedom that you experienced as a kid, being like, oh, I'm leaving the house. It's dark. I can come home whenever I want.
I didn't, to me, that's interesting that you call that freedom, because to me, Even before we had cell phones, that was always a source of anxiety for me. Like, even before I knew that one day I would be able to contact people as I roamed free and where I was going, it was always a source of anxiety. Like, I've got to be here at this time to meet this person at the fucking sunglass kiosk in the mall, or they will be gone forever, and I will never get to play the arcade games with them, even though I could just go
so
to the arcade
by myself.
You've
always been neurotic.
Oh, I feel like the lack of cell phones actually made me this neurotic every kid, like, oh my God, we got to get there on time or they're going to be gone forever.
I mean, yeah, I guess when you're trying to meet up with somebody, it wasn't as ideal. But I guess I'm thinking more like getting away from the house, like with your friends.
So I'm thinking more about being responsible and meeting up with people. And you're thinking more about how to be irresponsible and not get in trouble for doing it.
Exactly.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah, I see where we're going.
It's fun.
Different.
I mean, yeah.
And different childhoods here, Lauren.
And I mean, yeah, definitely.
No, yeah, but there is a sense of nostalgia for before, Like, look at the human interactions they had, and although they were all were somewhat painful on the show and somewhat healthy and wonderful, and remind me of some bad ones too, but just like there's no cell phone breaks, no one's playing Words for Friends in the middle of their dinner conversations. You know, they're having dinner with their family, which again, fuck dinner with your family and fuck your family on top of that. Actually. But it's just, you know, it's another world to think of, which we don't really, like dad is still like dad in the show. The dads in the show are still like lost and not paying attention. And they're hilarious. Yeah. They're all such worthless pieces of crap.
You don't even think, I forgot that kid Mike even had a dad.
Yeah, hilarious.
You know? I mean, I've only seen one scene with him in there, and he's like watching TV or trying to fix it.
Yeah, he barely has any lines.
And the mom's like telling the kid he can't go with his friends, can't do this. And without even like looking up, he's like, listen to your mom.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't want to deal with you.
No, the moms deal with everything in the show, and the fathers deal with nothing in the show. And I think that was a perfect 80s example. Like, oh, your kid is missing. Well, the father is not here, and fucking someone else, and the mother is dealing with all the fucking insanity and is driven insane by this bullshit. I think that was great, but you know, anyway, Steve, what were you gonna say? What do you want to say about nostalgia, cultural nostalgia?
I gotta go with Lauren on the you know, just kind of being completely free and out there. Like, you know, just we had a lot of woods around my house. I would just go run off into the woods and be gone for fucking, I mean, I would get lost.
Fucking ticks,
I would
bro.
Get fucking,
ticks.
Yeah.
Ticks, dude. Well,
you know, you didn't.
I've never gotten a tick.
You know what?
I did.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why. Maybe,
yeah. I was in the woods being like, look, we got to go. There's ticks everywhere.
Well, no, that's, you know what stops ticks? Fire. So you light fires in the woods. You have a great time lighting fires.
And I have a horrible story for you.
I loved playing in the woods.
I've burned myself so many times. Not on purpose, obviously.
You know, and I. When you were a kid, did you have a similar situation? I didn't play D&D, but did you have like a crew of kids like you hung out with and you did everything with, and like,
yeah, we had like a neighborhood crew of kids, and there were a ton of woods by my house, and all of this was probably when I was like fourth grade or something, and there were all these like older teenagers that built these crazy forts in the woods so they could go get drunk at them, but they were never there during the day. So we had these insane tree forts to play in, like rope swings to jump into like the creek in. Like, we were set. And then we just had to leave before it started getting dark out, because then like all the scary big kids would come in.
That's funny.
But yeah, they definitely set up like a random little playground for us all to enjoy.
Well, I mean, that sounds like you were as tight as the kids in the show were, but you were also, it was also like, were you mischievous? Like, were you causing problems, or were you like the good kid? Obviously, you were coming home late, so you were causing problems.
I mean, what do you mean by causing problems?
Apparently, Steve is burning down forests.
No, because the thing is, the important thing about being mischievous is, if you're doing it on purpose, then you're just a poser. If you're just doing something because you feel like, hey, you know what? I feel like lighting matches right now. Oh, shit. There's a fire, or you know, whatever, chlorine bombs, you know, whatever. You know,
it was the '80s. The Anarchist Cookbook was new. We're like, hey, how much gasoline can we fit inside of a tennis ball and then light on fire and throw? It's the stupidest.
That's what I'm saying. But like, if you're like, I'm going to go out and cause trouble, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
you go out and you just do what you feel like.
I don't know which one I respect more.
So you're saying
more,
that you can't
Steve.
Get blamed for forest fires just because you wanted to get on a
Steve's
fire.
Trying to talk himself out of the forest fires, but that shit is
I feel bad about that now. I mean, but... Well, see, no, as an adult, if you're an adult and you say, I'm going to go out and fuck shit up, that's a lot more respect. As a kid, you should have that in you to go out and fuck shit up.
I think that as a kid, I endlessly regret all of the dumb shit that I did, and wish that I had. If it meant being a poser, I wish I was more of a poser, and would have been like, I shouldn't take the gunpowder out of these bullets and build a fucking pile of gunpowder and try to light it on fire, because this is a terrible idea. If posers are like drinking on the fucking watching these stupid kids do these things, whatever it was, it would have prevented me from causing that fire. Would have been a good idea. Listen, kids, don't take gunpowder out of bullets.
But see, you
horrible idea.
You wouldn't know that it was a terrible idea until you had the experience.
How many kids do you think are listening to Dispatches? <USA? laughs>
Well, I mean, the short of it is, I hope a lot, because I feel like they could be learning a lot from me. You know, blank. You know, pile of gunpowder. Terrible idea. Don't try to light it on fire.
You wouldn't know that unless you did it, though.
Yeah, but I shouldn't ever have known that. You know? Because that is a useless skill, and that can apparently only blind you on a railroad track on a windy day. It's terrible.
I dropped a match into a 2-liter bottle of gasoline. Bad idea.
Wow.
Burn the shit out of my hand.
You're
like
lucky
bad.
You didn't blow off your dick.
Yeah, or whatever. Blow off anything.
Well,
yeah.
Blow off anything. It doesn't really matter. Yeah.
I mean, the stories I had to spin to get out of why my hand was covered in second and third degree burns.
What did you say?
Yeah, what was it?
There was some kids were lighting a fire in the woods and it got out of control, so I tried to put it
out. So
it's
some other kid. You were the one that was saving the day when in reality you're the one who started the fire.
But there was no one else there.
My Steven is such a good kid, he'd never do anything like that. He tried to put out a forest fire.
With his hand.
With his hand. Not a bright boy, but well intentioned. Steven.
No, see, yeah. I didn't light stuff on fire. I just ended up hurting myself all the time. Like, I was always doing stupid stunts. I think I was like 6 years old and I knocked out all my front teeth and I had to get them wired back in.
What? Shit. You can wire teeth back in? Tell me more about that. I want
to
do that.
I mean, they still have to be kind of, they can't be like all the way out, but yeah, I had to have this
they were all
jagged. I
guess
I don't think so. Yeah, they were definitely falling out. I was just bleeding all over.
How did you do that?
I can't remember exactly what trick I was doing. I essentially just lost control of my bike and fell straight over the handlebars face first into concrete when my parents were out of town.
But see, that is a practical lesson to learn, because now you don't fall over your handlebars, as opposed to the other punks that I know in the scene who do fall over the handlebars and lose their seats as adult males. Like lighting fires, like these were all not functional health. We're never going to need to do that unless we become firemen or pyromaniacs or arsonists. All of these skills are useless, but we still ride bikes and need to know.
I'm a little more nervous riding bikes, though, I will. Oh, okay. Because I've gotten in several bike accidents as a young child.
I mean, I was a bad kid. I did bad shit. We had a crew of kids. It was not necessarily a neighborhood. We used to always pee on things. We pissed on everything.
Gross.
We went to this kid's house and we just pissed all over his jungle gym.
You're an asshole.
And we didn't just do it at their house. We did it. We had a jungle gym too in like our backyard, and we made a cesspool, which was just every time we had to pee, we went to the bottom of the slide and we peed in the backyard. In hindsight, I don't know how I got away with this. Like, obviously it was a disgusting pool of piss. Right? So someone should have said something. But my mother was a saint. She's like, "You let them do whatever they want. They're just boys." We were terrible. We were fucking I can't believe they didn't think we were going to be serial killers or something like that. But we pissed over this kid's. We pissed on everything. We used to go into like everyone's houses in the neighborhood.
What?
Before
they were in their houses?
What the fuck, Ohio, man?
With the brother being built.
This is amazing.
Like, there was like a rich neighborhood, and like we'd go into their buildings like as they were being built, and we'd piss everywhere in their buildings. So later when we would go trick-or-treating and we'd go to the house, they'd give us a candy, be like, "Hey, we pissed all over your house." And then we'd run. I'm like, "Hey, motherfucker, thanks for the candy, but we pissed all over your fucking house."
Holy shit.
It felt really good to say that. It was like a little class warfare crime. But we had
when Cleveland was nice, but it just stunk like piss.
Oh no, it was not. It was definitely I wouldn't call 80s Cleveland like a really nice area, but we lived in like a suburban area that was like well to do. It wasn't such a bad area. It was a good area. It was in hindsight a good place to grow up. But we were bad. And like I felt like every time they were playing Dungeons and Dragons on the show, I feel like we would have been pissing on someone's house. And then they use Dungeons and Dragons like throughout the show to help them solve problems, like things they've learned through Dungeons and Dragons. It's not a spoiler.
Okay.
It's just like things that they're trying to solve problems, and they reflect on their Dungeons and Dragons experiences. And then I think to myself, like, how would I have reflected on those moments? And like, "Hey, you remember when you were pissing on that kid's jungle gym and then we had to clean it? How did we get caught? Let's avoid that again." Like, what did we learn from that? We learned that we should hit people and run faster.
Obviously.
We should carry baseball bats and weapons more. These are the only lessons we learned as kids.
Yeah, your experience points, your level in Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. Now you're learning experience.
How many steps can you pee?
Piss dragon.
Just think about how much these kids learned in their experiences and how little I learned in all my horrible, mischievous experiences, and how fucked up I became and how fucked up I am. And I feel like really bad.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, see, you went out and purposely did something terrible to someone because you're like, "Fuck you." You know, like, okay, so if something bad happened to one of the things that I was doing just because I felt like doing it, it's like, dude, I'm so sorry you got hurt.
Or oh, got yeah. All right, so the moral of the story is Steve's a better person than me. Get down. There you
clearly.
Go. That's a fucking lesson learned.
I've never... Well, I can't say that I've never pissed on anybody, actually.
Oh,
I'm wrong.
I've never pissed on anybody.
Just on all of their belongings.
Just on all their belongings and then told them that it happened. It just was like some like instinctual animal thing that I had to do. Like it was class warfare
was
slash
you, were you like, hey, guys, let's get together?
Yeah, whose idea was it initially?
I think
do you
this,
remember?
This sounds like you, and I think that you're a very that's coercive person.
I was manipulative as a kid, for sure. My brother and I would do these things with other people in the neighborhood, and definitely like he was the kind of the brute and I was the instigator. They called me the instigator, so I guess they were probably my fault. There were some other really bad stories I'll tell you off there. I feel bad of them in hindsight. Not the pee, that was great. That was class warfare.
No, that's funny.
You're just gonna start doing that again now.
Yeah, we
adults.
Should do that more. I mean, I don't see a reason to pee on things, but
I
like,
piss on everything. I mean, not for any reason other than I got a weak bladder.
Weak bladder and terrible aim.
But I need to get political with
it's
that,
all over
Steve.
My legs right now.
But Steve feels really bad about it. So there's one thing he learned from his guilt-ridden Christian childhood is that you should feel bad about the things you piss on. And Joey never learned that bullshit and his atheist nonsense. So, there you go. All right, I mean, the show is filled, it's riddled with nostalgia. Obviously, we're just thinking about our actions because apparently we didn't have any of these things as a child. We were totally so poverty-stricken. All we had were other people's forts and other people's buildings to pee in and other people's forests to burn down. But, you know, enjoy it. Let it. If there's something that you reflected on as you were watching the show, other than you being a Dungeons & Dragons dork... Message us at Dispatches.
You just lost half your listenership.
Please.
They listen
the
to this while
here.
They play.
Or that's... message Steve about Dungeons and Dragons and invite
yeah,
him to play
along
with
you. Let
me know
how awesome
you.
It is.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Enjoy that message, Steve.
I'm going to mug you when you
please
come to my house.
Get down. We're going to listen to a tune I made with some dear friends of mine in a band that no longer plays music together. But these are some of the best tunes I've ever made. I love making music with these guys. We had a ton of songs, but sadly we only recorded a tenth of them. But here's a song from a band we did called The Will from here in New York City. It's called Here's the Thing. It's about the movie The Thing. And I think you're going to dig what we're talking about here, especially if you dug Stranger Things. I think there's a lot of Thing references in the film or in the show. And yeah, I think this is along those lines. So shout out to Krista and my boy John Carpenter for this one. So here's The Thing. Here's the thing. By The Will, get down.
You can't escape it, because everywhere you hide, everywhere you turn, this is the curse from which there is no way out. Now, one of them is out to kill all of them. No fear has ever come this close. No suspense has ever gone this far. You may never live to see the end of it. It'll open your eyes and freeze your blood. We'll be right back.
right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll get down with you again next week when we have a brand new episode from Dispatches from the Underground. Every Wednesday at noon, you'll have a new episode up on our website, dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. Or you can listen to us on Real Punk Radio at 11 p.m. on Wednesday night, right after Tommy Unit's show. Thank you, Steve and Lauren, for being part of our Dispatches from the Underground Collective and doing such hard work to make this show happen. Really appreciate everything you're doing. And thank you all, everyone who tunes in every single Wednesday, makes it worthwhile for me to even do this. It's nice to know that people still dig it and listen and want us to keep going on and hopefully helping y'all get a better perspective on this fucked up world we live in. If you do dig this show, you can donate. The show's free, but you can go to our website, dispatchersintheunderground.com, and donate to the show to help us keep this going. If you're not in a position to be donating money, you can donate a little bit of time. Take 5 minutes. Go to our iTunes page. Just search for Dispatchers from the Underground. Leave a rating. Leave a little comment. It means a ton to me. It lets people know that, lets me know that people still dig what we're doing. And for those of you who do spread the word, post on it on social media, I appreciate everything you're doing. Keep doing that, please. And then those of you who aren't, get your shit together and help us out here. If you like what we do, help us get this done a little bit better. Post around. Get us a little comment on the iTunes. It means a ton. You can hook up with me. I'm on Instagram now for the first time. I got a future phone. So I'm on Instagram. You can hook up with me at Joey Steele NYC. That's STEEL. Joey Steele at NYC. I'm sorry, Joey Steele NYC. Yeah, and there's some pictures of stupid shit that I see all around. And yeah, you'll dig it. It's fun. It's good times. Otherwise, you can just hit us up on any other social media just by searching for dispatchesfromtheunderground.com. And we'll see y'all in hell or next week or whatever, comes first. Keep your heads up. I know it's really exhausting out there. I know it's hard to stay focused. I know it's hard to keep our hearts in the underground while our heads are getting bombarded by bullshit in the clouds every day as we keep our feet moving. But it's important. It's important that we help each other out. It's important that we find some time to love the things that we're doing, including loving these wonderful shows. And it's easy for when there's shows like Stranger Things, because this show is not only great, it's also lending itself to reflection and some perspective shifting. So thank you to the producers of Stranger Things for making such a great show. But, you know, don't lose yourself and don't lose your friends and don't lose your loved ones in this process. And make sure as you do all that, as you're not losing the people you care about and the things you care about, that you're making this fucking world a better place, as everybody else seems to just be ripping it apart. We got to start building. Hopefully this show helps you get some perspective on how to do that. Thank you all for digging it. We'll see you next week. Till then, get down.